think that Holden needs to be talked about. I feel like there's a heart posture that needs to be spoken of.
Yeah.
At least that's what I see. And I feel like we're at a time where the heart posture of those in the church, like, it doesn't matter if you're a named person. Like, for me, it's like he didn't go to freaking Jeremiah or Zephaniah, who are the main men here. He went to a woman.
Exactly.
And it was, I was reading a commentary, and it was, I mean, these are men who usually like downgrade women in real life, but like they basically were talking about her heart posture. Like, it's the heart posture the Lord wanted us to see. And so I feel like that's significant in this time. So I feel like it needs to be heard.
Yeah.
Also, because I feel like there's just a rise of women and mama bears that need to speak up over this
Yeah.
nation and for this children's nation generation, because like the enemy is, y'all, on the last week, I have seen more commercials that have targeted kids through freaking candy bars and like darkness, and it just makes me righteously angry.
Yeah, same.
Like a Twix bar is
Yeah, I
like
saw
has a witch
that.
in it.
I saw
And a
that.
kid is cross-dressing. Like, I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. It's freaking Halloween, I get it, but like you're clearly sending a message there. And then you have the Ouija board with the other one, and I'm like, the enemy is not even hiding anymore. Like,
Yeah,
we just need to get
exactly.
up.
But it's one of those things where it's been there, right? It's been there,
It's
and
just more blatant.
and it has, I want to say that it has been blatant in the past, but I think there are people like you now who are, and you today as well, and us who are like, yeah, this is not right, you know, because
Right.
oftentimes we say as believers, we are in, you know, behind closed doors or hush hush, like, yeah, I don't agree with this, but like
Yeah.
to your point, it's time to be saying out loud, this is not right.
And
And
be okay
just,
with what happens after that. That's something that has been kind of fresh, and right.
Lord has been speaking to women about what strength actually looks like,
Right.
and what Hulda kind of ties in here for me is just the fact that she brings like the assurance of the word of the Lord at a time where everything is chaotic and everything is like people are doing what they want to do,
And
right?
evil.
Church is doing what they want to do. People are not consulting their word. People are not treating people right, and they're not loving well. They're not loving well, and it shows. So her word comes at a time where it's just like, this needs to stop.
Okay, ladies, do you want to just record?
Yes.
But what I'm, and I want to keep a lot of feel right now because my emotions, like
Yeah.
I mentioned in the beginning, it's like there's so much going on, and we have to be honest first about
Right.
the times that we're in, right? And we have to look at the fact that people are struggling and hurting, and
Right.
the word that needs to come from God has to be a word of assurance for people that need to fight and people that need to carry other people. So what I love about this, we're in 2 Kings. This is 2 Kings 22. This is the time of Josiah's reign. And I love this because Josiah comes, this is, you know, in the book of Kings, it's like king after king, and they all did what was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, things happened and then they died and then the next one came. So it's like that after that. And then finally Josiah comes and he's this 8-year-old.
Right.
And he does what is right in the sight of the Lord. So he's already coming in to change things. It's a new season. And he's king, and he starts doing these things in chapter 22 that, like, if you can wrap your head around the fact that, like, he's a young king. He reigns for the next like 40 years, but like he's a young king and his perspective is fresh. He's seen all this stuff. People have been disobeying. Comes with just this, like, no, we're gonna do it differently.
Right.
I feel like we need to see that just in the church. That's representative of what the church needs to be. And and that's not what we are. So in that time, let's keep in mind that, like, there's a new king. He's doing things differently. This is about repairing the temple, rebuilding the temple. And he consults the prophet Huldah, not prophetess. Notice the Bible says prophet, Huldah, who is a woman.
Mine says prophetess.
Oh, mine says prophet. Do you have KJV?
I have ESV.
I'm kidding. Okay. And it's a woman. So I'm going to stop there. Who wants to go next? Who wants to hop in here?
Well, I think first you kind of have the backlog here with King Josiah. Like, first you have to realize how long. So it had been almost 50 to 60 years of just evil. The people of Israel had not obeyed, right? So you literally are in the days of evil and wickedness, and you see multiple, like, if you go just a chapter before this, like, his great-grandfather walked in the, like, evil ways of the Lord and basically turned his back to the Lord. And there's basically, like, prophetic word after prophetic word, and it says that the Lord used servants of the prophet, like his prophets, to speak destruction over the land because the people had turned away. And I find that very interesting because that's almost like, what, 6 decades, right? Yeah. But here you have Huldah. So there still was righteous people, right? So, like, you have righteous people still that are plugged in into the darkness.
Right.
And I think that's very important because I feel like, what's parallel with time? We are living in a day that the world is evil. Like, people are calling good bad. Like, things that are righteous are bad, and things that are evil are righteous in the sight of the world right now. And so I think that we have to keep that in mind. Like, there's this heart posture that, and you also have to think too, like, Jeremiah and Zephaniah are the prophets that are speaking destruction at this time. And I feel like that's also significant. And then number two, like, the high priest that actually goes to Huldah is actually the father of Jeremiah.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So Jeremiah's father knew that he should go to Huldah. And to me, I don't think that was like he didn't trust his son kind of thing. I think that he knew that his son was called to speak destruction in certain words. And he knew that he needed to go to Huldah because that was put in his spirit to go to her. And I think that there's significance in that one because it just shows you that there's a heart posture there. Like, it's just a woman who basically was like, what, the wife of Sulam, the son of Tikva, basically, like, her husband, it looks, and like that family basically made wardrobe either for the priest or the king. They're not really specific, but to me, like, in the midst of evil and destruction, there's this heart posture of Huldah that the Lord says, I want you to go to her.
Yep.
Right. So I think there's a lot of times where we just think, well, we have to have a platform or we have to be well known to hear the voice of the Lord. That is so far from the truth. Like, the Lord is looking for those who have clean hands and a pure heart. I think of, like, Psalm 34 a lot on my mind, like, search me and know me. Like, it's this holy, consecrated, like, open hands, pure heart that the Lord is asking for us in this hour. And you don't have to be well known. Like, you can just be in the secret place and the Lord speaks. He uses Huldah here, who basically has a verse here and then in 2 Chronicles 34:20, where they basically say her name, but she basically has this heart posture toward the Lord that she's able to hear and confirm the very words that the prophets have spoken. And I think it's really cool that she literally says exactly what Josiah did, the king, when he ripped his clothes, and she wasn't there. She had to hear that from the Lord. So that confirms that she's hearing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know. I just, there's something about the heart posture that I just feel so significant about. Like, she doesn't have a lot of verses, but it's the heart posture. Even her name is, like, she was named Weasel, for crying out loud. So, like, you immediately think, like, she's up to something, but her heart posture is like, no, like, I'm still postured before the Lord.
Names.
No, I think both of you have said a lot of it. You know, it's that when we talk about heart posture, it's, you know, in order to have a heart, you have to be, well, a heart that is focused on God and a heart that is humble before him, or a heart that's submitted. It's, you know, for us today, it's something where we have to be in his presence all the time.
Right.
It's not something that we can cultivate on our own. It's something where I'm in my word, I'm in prayer. Kind of reminds me of Anna in New Testament. It just happens. Temple all the time. And here's this woman who is close enough to the temple because her husband is the, what is he making? The temple wardrobe maker or keeper of the temple wardrobe. So she's probably helping him out. But that's not her. That's not where she's getting her full, you know what I mean? Like her spiritual fulfillment or spiritual infilling. It's coming from like separate time away with God. And so like, you know, we talk about, you know, people who just go to church. It's not just enough for you to be in the church. It's, you have to go outside of the church and spend time in the word and in the presence in order for you to be able to hear and in order for you to be able to see and be able to declare what the Lord is saying. And like you both said, it's interesting that, you know, Jeremiah and Zephaniah, and who knows, because there were so many things going on with Jeremiah. He was in one place and then in another place. And just like, yes, he was still the prophet, but he was like all over the places, depending on where God was leading and what was his situation at the time. But, you know, it's interesting that they go to a woman again, right, to confirm the word. Who's coming to us to confirm the word? And do we even know the word enough for people to feel comfortable enough to confirm the word of God? I was reading something about, you know, like God and evil, like, because a lot of people have issues with that, and not a lot of believers are able to rightfully divide the word of truth and rightfully say, you know what, God is sovereign, and this is what evil is, this is what God is, and this is how God is sovereign over evil, and, you know, be able to answer the age-old question of why does God allow evil, right? Mm-hmm. But we can only answer that if we're in the word.
Right.
We can only answer that if we're in prayer. We can only answer that if we're seeking. And so, yeah, to both of your points, it's important that in this day and age today, that we are so much in our word that we know enough to be able to answer the questions that people have. So if someone comes to try to confirm the word, we're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready to say, this is what the word of the Lord says.
Right.
This is what we are choosing to believe in. This is how we're choosing to act based on what's been revealed to us.
Yeah. And I think too, another thing that really just sticks out in the story is one, we're talking about how Huldah had a humble heart and like open posture. But Josiah also, the Lord even says, because you have humbled yourself. And I think the Lord just has spoke this for several months to me. Like there is something like a superpower within the word humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's like a humbleness. Like it literally, I don't know how else to describe it. Like it has to be a superpower this day, because the opposite of humility is pride. And we are, like right now, the reason that there's so much is because of greed and pride over the nations. Okay. Yeah. So for those who are humble enough to admit that they're wrong, and even when we come before the Lord and admit like, Lord, I don't know the answers, and this is what I feel, and this is what I'm struggling with, that's humility.
Yeah.
And I think there's something so significant in this hour about humility, because it comes with an open heart posture. Like it's not like, well, I know the answer because I read my Bible, or I grew up mm-hmm. in the church and I know this answer. But I think there's something very significant about just the Lord is just calling leaders and just his church back into a heart of humility. Like we screwed up. We haven't led culture like we were called to. And so we're coming and we're repenting.
Yeah.
So lead us. And I feel like there's just something about Josiah's humility in here that it literally moves the destruction for like what he reigned for, what, 31 years. This is the 18th year. I'm not really good at math, but like, it's 31, like 21. Yeah. It's like 21, 30 more years that he passes the destruction from the people. Like his heart was for his people. And because he humbled himself and tore his clothes and humbled himself before the Lord, like he saves his people.
Yeah. During his reign, he said.
Yeah, during his reign. Let me be very clear.
After
during his reign. Humility. And it didn't mean that all the people repented. Let's be very clear. He started to clear stuff out. But there still was evil wickedness, because you still see that the covenant curse, because they broke the covenant, is still carried out after him. But there's, I don't know, there's just this humility and heart posture.
I want to take it back just a little bit. Well, not really. Yeah, I want to take it back to sort of like the start of that section in section 22, where, you know, Hilkiah is cleaning the house of the Lord. They're cleaning, and that's where they discover the word of the Lord. And I'm like, so where has the word of the Lord been this whole time?
Right.
Because you're a priest. What are you priesting with? Like, what are you, how are you performing your duties without the word of the Lord? How is it that the book of the law is found in rubbish, but yet you are performing your duties?
Listen.
And not missed. So all these years, no one has asked the question, oh my gosh, where is the word of the Lord?
And that's the point.
That, and,
right.
And it makes me think today, are we missing the word of God? Where are we? Can we be out there like, okay, you know what? We need to have the word on this and not be reactionary, right? Let's go to the point where we're seeking God's word openly and with such fervency or fervor. That's the word, not fervency. I think I just made up a new word.
Hey, I like it. I make words up all the time, so keep going.
But no, really, I just thought it was really interesting how we as Christians are able to perform, and right. that's ultimately what it is a performance without having the word of God deep within us.
Listen, that is so, so, so timely, and I can't even, like, straining. It has been to just see church after church, and I'm speaking personally and not for anybody else, but across the world, you know, church after church, just not talking about God on a Sunday or not talking about what Jesus actually said to do on a Sunday. Like, and this is a great point, because the next thing that happens after they find this word, Josiah counsel from the prophet. And what's so great about the fact that he goes to Huldah, like you said, there are other prophets and they are operating and hearing from God at the same time. But Huldah brings the word of assurance that the church needs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Huldah speaks to the anointed. She says, and this is in verse 20, you will not see the disaster I am going to bring on this city. So they took her message back to the king. Josiah wanted a very specific message from her.
Mm-hmm.
Not a message of destruction, not a message of repentance, the assurance for the word that the Lord is giving to the remnant, the people that he has chosen, the people that are going to continue carrying his word forward. You will not fall in this disaster. And that's like, it's so potent for right now, because we need to be strong and we need to stand strong on that word that has been found. Like, that is huge for right now. And I think that that's why she came up so strong recently for me. What do you ladies think?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just echoes just the things that the Lord's been speaking. Like, he's coming after his church first. And the Bible's very clear, like, he comes for his bride, and the bride is strong. And right now, the bride is not strong.
Yeah.
We don't know who we are. There are people in the church that do know who they are, but I feel like we're in such a significant time. And I'm going to try not to cry, because I feel like this is just such a message that the Lord just keeps speaking. They don't know who I am.
Yeah.
They don't know who I am. And I don't know. The Lord has just been putting that on my heart. Like, my church doesn't even know who I am. They don't know that I'm loved. They don't know that I'm their father. And I feel like that just, it really just breaks my heart, because I just want to scream from the rooftops. Like, if you knew who your father was, you would not be aligning with some of the things that you're aligning with. Like, if you knew how much he loved you,
if you knew how much he cared for you, if you knew how much he has given you, like, you would not be aligning your soul and your spirits with the things that are walking in this earth right now. And I just feel like there's just this holiness and this, that he's calling us as sons and daughters, like, back to him, because he wants to show us who he truly is.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's going to start in his church. He's going to start in his church because we're his people. He's not, when it says, like, the people, like, repented and I healed their land, it wasn't the people that didn't know him. It was the ones who said that they knew him, but they knew nothing about him. And
exactly.
I just feel like there's such a significance in that right now. Like, we have to know our identity as a church. We have to know our identity as sons and daughters, that are who our Father is, number one, because otherwise we will never understand who we are and the gifts and the just the things that we have been called to in this hour. We have been called to be the light in the midst of darkness. It doesn't mean that we're in the darkness. It means that we look different than the darkness. Oh, Jesus, help me right now. And that's what we've been called to. Like, because we know who we are, we have no fear of man, because we have the fear of the Lord, because we know what our Father has spoken. And I just feel like that's what you see here. Like, there was this fear of the Lord that entered into Josiah. He ripped his clothes because he knew that what the word of the Lord was spoken in the book of the law, it was only Deuteronomy, y'all. He didn't have Genesis or anything else. It was Deuteronomy. Yeah. But he knew that the words of the Lord were, like, they don't go void. Like, he knew that his people had broken covenant with the Lord. He knew what the Deuteronomy is, like, blessings and curse. Like, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'll curse you. And I'm saying, like, the blood of Jesus covers that. But, like, we have to be aware of what our Father is and what he stands for. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It's a lot.
I just feel like there's this significance, like, they're like, he's like screaming, like, my people, I need you to wake up. Like, I need you to wake up and see, like, what's happening. Like, we are in a spiritual battle and the battle is intense. Like, there's been many who have been heart posture for him that have been pummeled time after time after time after time. But yet they get back up because they know what their Father stands for. You know, and I feel like if the church truly started believing like that, like, if they really knew, like, I don't know, I've just had so many conversations where it just breaks my heart. They don't even feel loved. And they don't know what true love is.
Yeah.
And I feel like I feel guilty because I feel like we haven't taught them. And as a, like, teacher, I feel like, and one who mentors, like, I just want you to know how much you're loved by the Father. Like, if you truly just got that one thing, like, the Father is love, I feel like you could just be free from a lot of other things. Like, there's so much more to that. But, like, that's just one thing that just keeps,
Find strength, Lindsay, because this is a good message. It's a message of assurance that there's strength for you, Lindsay. There's strength for all of us, right? And I think what is so great about God, what I love about him in this story in particular, is that his will be done.
Yeah.
Regardless. And he knows exactly who to use. He knows exactly who to raise up. We just have the job of loving. We have to not forget what this is all about. It's about people. People are dying. Souls are being lost on a daily basis. And we have to remember and we have to find strength to walk so that we can lift up people. And that's what this is all about. Jesus is rest for the weary souls. And this message from Huldah, she's saying, you will not see this disaster. She's talking to the church. See it as, like, prophetic. We will not see the disaster because we know that Jesus wins in the end, right? We know the end of the story.
Right.
Find strength to walk. We have to find strength to teach. We have to find strength to lift up people. We have to find that strength. And this is how we do it. It's by picking up that word, like, finding that word of the law, finding the word of God, and digging deep into it. I want to just say one thing about Hulda that is also worth noting. She's one of seven. They're known as like the seven prophetesses. We've talked about a couple of them. Deborah. We've talked about Abigail. We've talked about Miriam. We talked about Esther. There's Sarah. Have we talked about Sarah yet?
I don't remember.
No, maybe. We'll get to
that. I don't think we've done Sarah.
We'll get to that. Yeah, and then Hulda. And these are like the main, or not the main. There are plenty more prophetesses and prophets in the Bible, but they're just known as like seven prophetesses of note. And Hulda only has like this really short appearance found to me. And it's so deep. And one more thing that like just tied back to God's will being done. She, as a prophetess, has the privilege of carrying God's will. Like God trusts her with the word that is connected to his will to share that. And that's a gift that we all can tap into. Like it's not exclusive to seven women. It's all of us. He wants to give us that access to his will. So that's something like I'm personally trying to really align myself with God's will, not just for my life, but his will for the church, his will for all of us. Like, where is that? Am I in tune with it? Is it going? Like, I feel like we always have to be in tune with it in order for him to trust us with that vision.
She was known as prophetess, but when she spoke like one who had power, and her words were taken seriously and not lightly. Like, and so we have to be women and men, but we're talking about women here, but we have to be women who are bold in what we know and bold to declare what we know. Because if we speak up, if people come to us and we don't speak authoritatively about the word of God, they won't take us seriously.
Right.
If we're the, and you know, we talked about us knowing, being in the word and knowing the word. That's how we walk in authority, is because we know the word, because we know who our Father is. We have a relationship with God that gives us the assurance that we need to stand boldly before whatever it is and whoever it is and speak and know that our words have power. So that's something that stood out to me, is because her day-to-day job is not to be in the temple or to do anything of that sort.
Right. And women weren't technically even allowed in the temple, which is an interesting part.
She was probably back there taking care of children, taking care of husband, you know, getting dinner ready and attending to stuff, going to the market, just the day-to-day. But when the time came for her, like, she knew who she was. I am a prophet, and I've got the word of the Lord. I know the word of the Lord. And I'm going to declare it. I'm not afraid of you guys, you know, speaking to men here. I'm not afraid of you, but I recognize who I am in the Lord. And that's identity as well.
Right.
So that's how we ought to walk as well. And that knowing that we are called, we are equipped. And if we are in his presence, we can validate the word of God. We can validate the truth of the Lord. Just because of the time that we spent in him. So that's just one thing that.
I think that's good. But for me, I see that the fact that the men actually came to consult her. So one, that they honored her opinion, not even opinion, like they honored and knew that she walked with the Lord. And I think you too, like we always talk about this, like go back to culture. Like, let's look at the context of when this was written. Women were, they really didn't have a lot of say, but yet all these men, and it even says Hilkiah, the priest, comes to the prophetess Hulda. Like, so he knew that this woman could hear from the Lord, which means that she would have had to, like, he would have to have confirmed many times the word that she had spoken before.
Right.
Yeah. He wouldn't have just gone to her for no reason. Like, yes, the Lord could have put it on his heart to go to her, but because her husband was a court official and like worked within the courts, he would have known what this woman carried. And I feel like just the fact that she's honored by these men, because they do honor what she says so much so that they actually go report it to the king. So, yeah. Right. They had to honor her. She had to walk in integrity, right? Because yeah. you can't carry the word of the Lord and walk in dishonesty. You have to be one of integrity yeah. and character. And it was her character that was known to me. Like just the fact that she was known
to the as king. One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, Lindsay, about, she would have had to, even though we only hear about her this one time, but several other times she would have had to have given the word or confirmed right. the word or given a prophecy that would have had to have come true. Right.
Right.
So it's not yeah. just a matter of, oh, I'm going to say it, but that was one of the requirements. And
right.
you know, I think in Deuteronomy, it also talks about just like, how do you identify a prophet?
Right.
So it's people are watching us to see if the words that we're going to say are going to come true.
That's good.
And part of that is, you know, you talk about integrity, which I completely agree with, where they recognize her as someone of character and someone who's has the authority and someone who we can go to, even though we have other men and other people who are more well spoken of or more spoken of in the Bible. Let's go to Huldah.
Yeah.
Right.
Ask her to confirm the word.